"Did you hear anything I said?" said Maledicta, looking pained. "Oh, that, yes. Thank you for telling me."
"Is that it?"
"Yes," said Polly. "You're you. That's good. I'm me, whoever I am. Tonker's Tonker. It's all just people. Look, a week ago the high spot of my day was reading the new graffiti in the men's latrines. I think you'll agree that a lot has happened since then. I don't think I'm going to be surprised at anything any more. The coffee bean necklace sounds good, by the way." She drummed her feet on the floor impatiently. "Right now, I just wish they'd hurry up in there." They sat and listened, and then Polly became aware of a little column of smoke coming from behind a bench on the other side of the space. She walked over and peered over the back. A man was lying there, head on one arm, smoking a cigar. He nodded when he saw Polly's face.
"They're gonna be ages yet," he said.
"Aren't you that sergeant I saw in the old kitchen, making faces behind Lord Rustramank Morpork?"
"I was not making faces, Corporal," said the man, sitting up. "That's how I always look when Lord Rusty's talking. And I was a sergeant once, it's true, but look, no stripes."
"Make the faces once too often," said Jade.
The man laughed. He hadn't shaved today, by the look of it.
"Something like that, yes. Come along to my office, it's warmer. I only came out here because people complain about the smoke. Don't worry about that lot in there, they can wait. I'm only down a passage."
They followed him. The door was, indeed, only a few steps away. The man pushed it open, walked across the little room beyond, and sat down in a chair. The table in front of it overflowed with papers.
"I think we can get enough food up here to see you through the winter," he said, picking up a sheet of paper, apparently at random. "Grain's a bit short, but we've got a handy surplus of white drumhead cabbage, keeps wonderfully, full of vitamins and minerals, but you might want to keep your windows open if you follow me. Don't stare. I know the country's a month away from starvation."
"But I haven't even shown this letter to anyone," Polly protested. "You don't know what we..."
"I don't have to," said the man. "This is about food and mouths. Good grief, we don't have to fight you. Your country is going to fall over anyway. Your fields are overgrown. Most of your farmers are old men. The bulk of the grub goes to the army. And armies don't do much for agriculture except marginally raise the fertility of the battlefield. The honour, the pride, the glory, none of that matters. This war stops, or Borogravia dies. Do you understand?"
Polly remembered the gale-swept fields, the old people salvaging what they could. "We're just messengers," she said. "I can't negotiate."
"You know your god's dead," said the man.
"Nothing left but a voice, according to some of our priests. The last three abominations were against rocks, ears, and accordion players. Okay, I might be with him on the last one, but rocks? Ha!
We can advise you if you're going to look for a new one, by the way. Om's very popular at the moment. Very few abominations, no special clothing, and hymns you can sing in the bath. You won't get Offler the crocodile god up here with your winters, and the unorthodox potato church is probably a bit too uncomplicated for...
Polly started to laugh. "Look, sir, I'm just a... What is your name, please?"
"Sam Vimes. Special envoy, which is kind of like an ambassador but without the little gold chocolates."
"Vimes the butcher," said Maledicta.
"Oh, yes, I've heard that one," said Vimes, grinning. "Your people haven't really mastered the fine art of propaganda, and I'm telling you because... Well, have you heard of Om?" They shook their heads. "No? Well, in the old book of Om, there's a story about some city full of wickedness, and Om decided to destroy it with holy fire, this being back in the old smiting days before he'd got religion. But Bishop Horn protested this plan, and Om said he'd spare the city if the bishop could find one good man. Well, the bishop knocked on every door and turned up empty-handed. It turned out, after the place had been reduced to a big puddle of glass, that there were probably plenty of good people there and, being good, they weren't the sort to admit it. Death by modesty, terrible thing. And you, ladies, are the only Borogravians I know much about, apart from the military, who, frankly, aren't chatty. You don't appear to be as insane as your country's foreign policy. You're the one piece of international goodwill it has. A bunch of young boys outwitting crack cavalrymen, kicking the prince in the fork. People at home like that. And now, it turns out you're girls. They'll love that. Mr. De Word is going to have fun with that when he finds out, and I'll see he does.
But we don't have any power. We can't negotiate a...
What does Borogravia want? Not the country. I mean the people.
Polly opened her mouth to reply and then shut it again and thought about the answer. "To be left alone," she said, "by everybody. For a while, anyway. We can change things."